Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's get back into this conversation. I do want to talk about the Giants. I might not be allowed to for a little bit. I don't want to mess anything up. But we were talking.
That's an underrated bit on this show.
How I destroyed the Giants. I haven't watched them in a long time.
Didn't it happen last year too or something? That's how it all came about.
The Giants? I don't think so. It started this year because... I'll
never forget that game in Colorado.
It started the game before when, I guess, bad luck Bonte was becoming a thing. And Bonte was distraught. I think it was Colorado. Bonte was distraught because they were losing mm-hmm. to the Rockies. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, this is funny. And it made me tune into the game. So I tuned in, and I think they came back in the ninth inning.
Yeah,
and beat Colorado, and so I was like, "Oh, that's funny, like that's cute." So I watched that game, and it's like, "Oh, look, I'm good luck."
Yeah,
and they were winning the last game of the series during the show, and we put the game on. I think we put the game on, and they blew the lead.
Yeah,
and that kind of started the.
Yeah, they weren't good for another.
There were three games. Following that, yeah, they weren't good until a few weeks ago. There were like three games after that where we would turn it on in the studio. There was the Logan Webb game. Logan Webb's, man, he's thrown 15 strikes in a row, and I turned it on, and he gives up his first hit. It's like, you know what? Let's just
he gets out of it.
Turn it off. Yeah, as soon as we turned it off, it's like, all right, man, like I'll leave it alone. So I forgot. We actually talked about it yesterday. I forgot the Giants are playing right now, so we can hold off on that conversation a little bit. I'm gonna leave it. I don't want to say nothing.
Thank you.
I don't want to say nothing.
Thank you. I appreciate that. We're trying to make history.
I wrote Giants.
Something special.
Sorry. Excuse me. I was talking about the New York Giants. I wanted to talk about Russell Wilson and Brian Daboll and Jackson Dart and that whole crew there. But it's fine. We don't have to talk about Little Giants. We don't have to talk about the New York Giants. We don't have to talk about Giant Gonzalez.
Giant Gonzalez.
Have to talk about the crazy. Giant in WCW. We don't have to talk about none of them.
Giant Gonzalez. Was he really like 7'7"?
He was pretty tall,
He looked maybe about 7'1".
I don't know if he was 7'1". I think he was like a legit 7'7".
Man.
They said he was 8 feet tall.
He looked uncomfortably tall.
No, like, he looked like when he did that bit with The Undertaker, unless he had some major lifts on, he was towering over The Undertaker. Mm. Okay.
We got some Brock Purdy updates.
We do?
Yeah, Kyle Shanahan just spoke, said Purdy didn't practice today because of his toe and shoulder and views him as a long shot to play. Mac Jones.
Can you imagine we were sitting here talking about Giant Gonzalez and Jesse has to break in with real news?
I wanted to talk Giant Gonzalez too, but.
Okay.
Looks like Mac Jones will be.
Now we're going to learn about those Niners depth issues, whether they're real or not.
Mac Jones, watch, he's going to play good on Sunday. And I've said it tongue in cheek, but he's going to play good on Sunday, and it's going to start the quarterback conversation.
I would believe if George Kittle was out there.
It shouldn't.
It's so. Not.
It should not. It shouldn't. But this is what's been going on for the past 6 years in San Francisco. And then Schefter's going to – he's going to have a tweet.
Oh, Schefter.
The guy that he originally wanted.
Schefter's going to go crazy on Sunday. He is going to go absolutely nuts on Sunday. a long shot to play. So do we know what it is? Is it turf toe? Is it a broken toe? Is it a we know anything?
We don't. I'm assuming, and I probably shouldn't do that, but I'm assuming it's a turf toe situation. That's what it
that is.
Because if it was like
painful.
Broken, it feels
turf
like,
toe used to be the kiss of death back then.
It is extremely painful.
Dealing with that all year.
Yeah.
I searched Kyle Shanahan to see if I could find any quotes from him. The video of him reacting to Jake Moody is so damn funny. Kyle Shanahan says Purdy's availability for Sunday is a long shot and that it's possible, quote, it's possible his injury could keep him out multiple weeks. All right. So for fun, I know you probably know this by heart, but let's take a quick peek at the San Francisco 49ers schedule. Obviously, we know that they've got New Orleans coming up in New Orleans on Sunday. They're going to be home for the first time against the Arizona Cardinals on September 21st. And then they'll close out September against the Jacksonville Jaguars, also at Levi Stadium, before going on the road. But the road in this situation is L.A.
And that's just home.
Pretty much.
Yeah. If I, right now.
Levi Stadium South.
Right now, my gut tells me he's out until Tampa Bay. That's what I'm feeling.
Wow. Okay, so that's your mini buy theory again that you laid out. Well, you laid it out prior to George Kittle being put on injured reserve. Now that is the first day, 1, 2, 3, 4, that is the first day he could actually return, or the first game he could actually return for is that Tampa Bay game. Of note, that game is in Tampa Bay. They're back on, it's a primetime game against Atlanta, at Levi Stadium.
Yeah. I just find it, at the very least, I find it hard to see that if he's not playing this Sunday, that he'd be ready to go the following Sunday. So maybe the Jags game might be the game, but if he's not able to go in a week, I don't know if he'd be able to go in 2 weeks. I would use that next week to kind of get him back in shape. Feels like a 2 to 3 week injury. Although
we don't really know what
out
the injury is.
Yeah, he hasn't been ruled out. I'm just going off of Shanahan's quotes of it could be a multiple week injury.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Again, we don't know what it is. But I guess we'll. Yeah, I guess we'll see. Kyle Shanahan, again, Brock Purdy is not ruled out. He's labeled, though, as a long shot for Sunday. My guess, you use a term like that, you're preparing this upcoming week for Mac Jones to be your starting quarterback. And it's probably best to approach it that way. It's probably best to tell everyone in the building, Mac Jones is going to be our quarterback this week. We're going to adjust our play calling a little bit, or we'll do whatever we have to do, whatever you do when you put a second string quarterback in there. I don't know. I guess I'll die with this line. Like I'm not like overly concerned about this for the San Francisco 49ers, partly because the Saints aren't good. But second of all, I don't think Mac Jones is awful. And I think when you have a skilled play caller like Kyle Shanahan and George Kittle's status notwithstanding, you still have a skilled offense. This is a better situation than Mac Jones was ever in New England.
Right.
So I think the 49ers are in. They're okay. They could survive this.
I think so too.
It's not the worst thing that's happened.
Yeah, I think so too. I feel the same way about Mac. Just in general as a quarterback, even during that draft, when he was talked about being picked with the number 3 pick or whatever, it was never that Mac Jones is not an NFL quarterback. It was I wouldn't take him at that position, trading up, giving up a bunch of stuff. I wouldn't do that for Mac Jones. But I always thought, and I still think to this day, he's just an NFL guy. This is a guy that, you know, in a pinch can start some games for you and give you an opportunity to win. And I think this is what's going on right now. So I obviously I think Brock Purdy's better. I wish it was him that was playing, but I don't think it's doomsday with Mac Jones there. And while we're at it, can you do me a favor and just wipe out the Giants in the rundown. Please, just wipe it out. Don't even say, just say San Fran at this point.
What's going on?
I deleted it. It's not even on the sheet no more.
3-0. The starter just got knocked out in the top of the second inning.
I had it as the lead too. I've maybe written the Giants as the lead 3 times. Sorry. It's fine. Damn. I apologize.
Dang.
And I also apologize to people who were really excited to hear about Gian Gonzalez. We'll come back.
WCW.
So, Elegante. It looks like Mac Jones is going to be the starter. Again, nothing official from Kyle Shanahan today, but it looks like Mac Jones will likely wind up being the starter at the very least for this Sunday's game in New Orleans. We'll come back. I want to get back to something our man Tyler said here in the chat regarding the Sacramento Kings and this Kawhi Leonard situation. We also got the 25 most influential sports media personalities of the last 25 years? Question mark? And maybe we'll get to overreactions. Who knows? Stilo and Casey here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now we're rationalizing when we can turn the game on inside the studio.
Now 4-0.
This is the only sport where this works, by the way, too. Like, baseball is very superstitious.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
NFL, basketball, yeah, it doesn't really matter. Baseball, it's like, yeah, don't step on the foul lines.
I'll play along. I take responsibility. I take personal accountability for the Giants' struggles, and I don't want to be a part of anything that could prevent them from.
We appreciate that, Damian Henry. Derrick Henry said, this is on me. I take responsibility. I should have held on to the football.
You
that
think?
Lackadaisical.
Yeah, okay, well, wait a minute. I'm not taking complete accountability. Like, wait a second. They sucked for like 2.5 months. Don't put all that on me. Like, I'll take a stretch where it's like, hey, look, that's my fault. Superstitions, all right, I get it. You ain't going to put all of this on me. You can't count on much.
They are fighting for their lives to get out of this second inning. Jesus.
You can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long, starting at just $30 for your first year. That's like $250 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started. And that's for Sunday's game. Monday's game, there's two of them. Make your plans to be with us. D'Lo and KC, Sky River Casino, 32 Brew Street. This Monday, it's the Raiders and the Chargers live in Las Vegas. Come through, hang out with us. It's the second game of a doubleheader. It's the Bucks and Texans to start things off. We'll be there immediately following the show. Of course, the Raiders start about 7. I think we'll have mics in hand maybe around 6:30, 6:45. We'll talk a little bit before that game gets underway. But ultimately, it's not a big show. It's not a giant production. We are going to hang out with Raiders Nation.
Yeah, man.
We are going to watch Raider football together. And it is this Monday night football, doubleheader, 7 o'clock start for the Chargers and Raiders. Come hang out with us.
Yes, sir. Going to be a good time, man.
Indeed it is. Sky's the limit at Sky River Casino. Sky might be the limit for what Steve Ballmer can pay potential free agents as well. And we were talking about Adam Silver's remarks earlier today. Let's see if we could find some other video here. But, Adam, one thing that certainly caught my attention, as a matter of fact, I don't even know what the complete context of this one is. This is the line about him not knowing what aspiration was. But I'd be curious to hear what Adam said to open things up regarding this conversation.
Well, when the podcast came out, it was news to me. I'd frankly never heard of the company Aspiration before.
Stop. Do we believe him?
Do
we believe him that Pablo Torre or someone from Pablo Torre's team didn't reach out to him or people associated with him to potentially get comment on this episode?
No, I think
they did. Make them aware.
Yeah, I believe that Pablo did. At the very least, Pablo did. If he didn't already know what was going on in this league before that.
Right. Did Pablo reach out to his publicist person? Maybe they didn't tell him about it.
That's certainly possible.
Because you're not going to have a direct line at him. So.
Given what Pablo has done recently, that's a bold strategy. If you are Adam Silver's PR person, personal assistant, whatever, it's a bold strategy to not tell him, hey, Pablo's on the stove. You might want to talk to him. Yeah. More from Adam Silver.
And I'd never heard a whiff of anything around an endorsement deal with Kawhi or anything around engagement with the Los Angeles Clippers. So it was all new to me. I heard it. I saw some of the follow-up information. We spoke internally. Rick Buchanan, our general counsel, is here who oversees any investigations.
Don't say anything stupid, pal.
Rick had a conversation with Steve Ballmer, and we quickly concluded this was something that rose to the level that necessitates an investigation. In fact,
interesting. Hmm. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. He said they spoke to Steve Ballmer right away and determined, okay, we need to investigate this. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
One that's done outside of our office and Wachtell Lipton, New York law firm that we've used in the past for investigations like this, is overseeing it. And again, I would also say I've been around the league long enough and different permutations of allegations and accusations that I'm a big believer in due process and fairness, and you need to now let the investigation run its course.
And there we are. There's Adam Silver. I said, I don't care what the result is. Like, it's not going to – I'm not going to be fired up if Steve Ballmer doesn't get punished. I imagine there's going to be teams that might be fired up, because this was pointed out by our man Tyler, who's getting a lot of run today. He said the Kings fans should be upset because this puts Kings – a team like the Sacramento Kings at a disadvantage. This puts a lot of other teams at a disadvantage because, you know, again, it's connecting dots, whether it's reality or it's our imagination, connecting the dots of a $50 million donation to a company that ultimately resulted in a essentially $48 million payout to a player who plays for that same donator's team. That's tough to reconcile. You pointed out earlier, maybe the two had nothing to do with each other. Maybe they didn't. But it looks funny.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And that's a thing we brought up, you know, before, is this disadvantage that other teams who don't have the ability to donate 10, 20, 30, 40, $50 million to companies to ensure companies who might not be able to give endorsements that high can give that endorsement that high. It's like we use the example, if Vivek Ranadive had invested in Pizza Guys right before signing Malik Monk, and then Malik Monk gets announced as the new Pizza Guy, and we find out Vivek donated $10 million and Malik got $10 million from Pizza Guys, Vivek would be, he'd be crucified already. In fact, someone else would own the Kings. In the last 6 days, the Kings, Vivek would have been thrown out, team would have been sold, someone else would have bought him. Hell, maybe they would have even moved by now. But, like, they would not find this. Yeah, sorry, Vivek, it's over for you, pal. Yeah. But Steve Ballmer is not Vivek Ranadive. Steve Ballmer, there aren't many. I mean, Lakeup is probably up there. Kroenke's probably up there. There's very, you know, maybe Josiah is up there. I don't know as much about him, but there aren't very many. And even in that, you know, when you talk about wealth of owners, even at that, Steve Ballmer is still at the top of all of them. Mm-hmm. And he's a good owner in the sense of he built that stadium with his own money. He built that arena, with his own money. And he brings attention to the league. Completely unintentional. Did you happen to see during all of the games on Sunday the 60-minute season promo?
Yeah.
There's Steve Ballmer. Yeah. and you know, I feel bad for him because there's the story was, what, 3 days old, 4 days old at that point? It's obviously not about this, but they're going to have to do a disclaimer at the beginning of it or do a follow-up that says, yeah, this conversation with Steve Ballmer was done before these allegations involving aspiration and so on and so forth. But right there, during football's big day, there's Steve Ballmer on a trailer for the season of 60 Minutes.
Yeah, Roger Goodell probably. Hey, hey, run that promo here. Yeah. That old, get the.
In fact, show Steve Ballmer one more time.
Show it every time, damn it. Every damn time.
Why does Roger Goodell sound like Vince McMahon?
That's what he does.
Why do all rich white men sound like Vince McMahon? You know,
because he's a representation of.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
Yeah, and I understand Tyler's point.
He's right.
He's right. I'm just not as worked up in punishing Steve Ballmer. Just not. I honestly, if I had to pick which way I'd want him to do, to go about this thing, is to just not punish him. Just not punish him. These things happen. Tell these guys to crack down on, you know, how loose they are with throwing their money around and things like that. But this, I probably wouldn't. I wouldn't. That would be a bigger stain on the league. Having to punish him would be a bigger stain on the league than just kind of sweeping it under the rug.
But if he did wrong, you have to punish him. Because, so I feel like you're reluctant to that. What do you tell Vivek Ranadive or Stan Kroenke or Joe Tsai or James Dolan? What do you tell them?
I'd ask them, you guys ready to stop doing this? Are you guys ready to stop doing this? Because if we're ready to stop, if we're all in agreement that we're ready to stop, I will punish him. But if you're not ready to stop, leave me alone about this and tighten it up. And actually, you guys are tightening it up. It's just one guy who didn't pay attention to what he was doing, and I'll talk to him about that. But if you're ready to stop this, then we will treat it as such. And just know that if anything funny comes out about you, I'm coming down your road the same way. If you're ready to do that, let's do it.
Okay, I don't mean to just beat this point into the ground, but let's do that. Let's go down that road. Let's say we'll go with another. Let's Joe Tsai. Mm-hmm. Joe Tsai gets caught in a similar situation. What do you do if you're Adam Silver? Because the precedent has been set. Mm-hmm. What he didn't get in trouble. So why are you coming for me?
So how I would do it, and this may not be fair, this may not be in this situation, at these board and governor meetings, we'd have that situation. And if they're not ready to stop, I'm going to tell you, we're not doing this again. Next person who gets caught in anything funny, that's it. I'll put it, since you guys don't want to put it into it, I'll put it into it. I'm giving you to all you guys this one time right here to make sure everything's in order. This is it. This is the last time. And after that, I'll take matters into my own hands. So just so everybody knows, if you get caught, there ain't going to be no, well, what about him? I'm talking to you now.
I don't think you could do that.
Understandable.
I don't think you can. Like, you have to, if it, like, this, and this is just such a, this is, like, Adam Silver is walking a tightrope with what we know now. Mm-hmm. Adam Silver is walking a tightrope. If where we are at right now today is all we have, and there isn't something out there that is, whew, there it is. I don't know what he can do.
Well, and that's
like, so, I don't know what he can realistically do.
So that's the other thing. You said if Joe Tsai is in the same situation, if he's in the same situation, I can't do nothing about that. Because that's the precedent that's been set. If there's no paper trail, if there's no confession from a player or an organization or a paper trail, if Joe Tsai is in the same situation 3 years from now, he's going to get off the hook too. Because I've already set the groundwork that I need, I need physical proof.
Can we discuss this from a perspective I don't think we have discussed in 6 days?
What's that?
Players. What do players do now? Oh, this is what we do? Oh, okay. Because I'm sure some of them have heard about it. The DeAndre Jordan thing was, I almost get how it happened. In the grand scheme of things, it's kind of small, right? You're talking about a sponsorship worth a couple hundred thousand dollars. Mm-hmm. Again, not to look down, that's good money. But when you're talking about contracts worth tens of millions of dollars, it feels significantly smaller. And it's like, okay, here's what we can offer DeAndre, but we also have the ability to get him a sponsorship deal. It looks like it's don't make me look stupid. Mm-hmm. What Adam was pissed about is that took place in a negotiation. That took place in a formal setting, in a formal room to negotiate a contract. It wasn't a, you know, after hours over at, you know, SR Prime talking about, hey, what could we do to make up this money that he's going to pass up to sign with you? Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we got this deal with Lexus. They love DeAndre. I mean, it's a pretty easy connect. We could connect you with Lexus. You know, $250,000 right there, and we're off. I don't even think there's a tie that the Clippers paid them $250,000. Like, there's nothing like that.
Right.
It's just the way that deal happened that seemed to piss the league off a little bit, and it was again the don't make a fool out of me.
Yeah.
And I think Adam Silver saw that as a you're making a fool out of me moment. And that's why they got the punishment they did for that, which I think was a fine equal to what DeAndre got, which was like $250,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I don't know. As a player, like I don't. I'm asking, what's this pizza guy's deal worth? Mm-hmm. Well, Mercedes of Stockton's got Kyle Draper. They ain't got me. I'm asking questions now as a player. Mm-hmm. I'm like Sky River. They're building. They're building football stadiums. They're paying D'Lo and KC. What are they paying me?
Right.
They got their name all over our building. What about me? Where's my cut? See, I'm asking questions now as a player.
And my thought is, you already know the answer to those questions as a player.
Do I?
This ain't nothing new. Mm. You already know the answer.
So
yeah,
we're
I got a couple million for
We're confident. Let's decide as a group. We're confident this is normal.
Yeah.
This is everyday NBA business. And I'm going to break this down into two parts. We're confident this is everyday NBA business. Mm-hmm. Yes?
I believe it is.
Is the dollar figure in which Kawhi Leonard got abnormal?
I think that's the top of the top.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
It sounds like maybe this isn't everyday NBA behavior, but maybe it's not as rare as we're hearing about. But the specific Kawhi Leonard deal is not everyday NBA business. The inclusion of Steve Ballmer in the company that paid him is what's really throwing a wrinkle into all of this. Mercedes of Stockton can pay Kenny all that they want to, because Odyssey didn't invest in Mercedes of Stockton. But if all of a sudden Odyssey is like, wait, how did this happen? How do we, wait, what? And it doesn't, the DeAndre Jordan sponsorship, the, you know, different rumblings, the different things that you hear about, even some of the stuff from Toronto. Toronto was, at least the way that it read in the Star, was setting up a sponsorship deal. Whether that's okay or not, they're setting up a sponsorship deal. What I don't know is if the Toronto Raptors' money was being funneled to the sponsor. So there's two big wrinkles in the Kawhi Leonard thing. The dollar figure and Steve Ballmer's involvement.
Man, two things. Number one, I agree with you 100%. I think that the Kawhi money just blew everything out of the water. Because if I go back to what the guy Gambo in Arizona talked about the day it came out about Toronto seemed like they had more, if you believe that story, they had more than a generous, more than a healthy promise or whatever of $15 million. Like, it was almost like, it sounded as if it was like, we're going above and beyond. $15 million ready for you. And then these guys come with damn near 30. It's like, whoa.
Counting ownership stake, I think it was 48.
Yeah, right. But I mean, on that first deal, just the 30, because he got 48 terms.
Gotcha.
Like, these guys come with almost 30. Like, normally people talk about 5 to 10. We was about to go to 15. And then this guy blows everything out of the water with 30? Nah, you're doing too much now. That's what it sounds like. That's what it reads like. The other thing about this, and I think it's one and the same. I'm just kind of thinking out loud. But does it matter that Steve Ballmer donated to this company and not the Clippers? To you? Like, legally wise. Like, it's not like the Clippers LLC.
Yeah.
Put $50 million.
It'd be hilarious. It would be absolutely hilarious.
$50
million. It's worse than Kawhi Leonard Aspire LLC or whatever it was. No.
Yeah.
No, because Steve Ballmer's the Clippers.
He is.
For better or worse.
But he's not legally.
No, I understand.
You know, and that's what I understand. Mean by that.
But in and he's absolutely not, because he's made, you know, $100-some-odd billion doing other things. Mm-hmm. But in the scope of this conversation, Steve Ballmer is the Clippers.
Mm-hmm.
So Vivek Ranadive is the same thing. Tech companies, all of these different things. He's got every baseball now, all of this stuff. Vivek Ranadive is the Kings. If Vivek Ranadive is involved in something shady, it the Kings get brought into it, whether fair or not.
I chuckled because the A's would pay Malik Monk $50 million, but not their own players.
Oh my God, that'd be hilarious. It'd be hilarious to find out Fisher paid Malik extra money when he signed last year, and now they can't get rid of him. Like, they've tried all offseason to trade him and can't.
Oh man. Doesn't feel like this is going away.
We'll go back to the highlight thing before we move on from Adam Silver's press conference.
Can I ask you a question? Yeah. This is a D'Lo and KC question here. Mm-hmm. This is what you get here on D'Lo.
Seems like
and
an
KC.
Appropriate time for this.
Looking at Adam Silver,
mm-hmm.
How much you think his suit costs? It's a real basic, bland suit.
He got it on sale.
But that's probably...
It's a couple grand at least.
Yeah,
a couple grand?
I was going to say 5 racks.
Yeah, not more than 10, not less than 1.
I was going to say that's 5 racks. That's
a $5,000 suit?
It shouldn't be, but I think it is.
I'm going to go 2. I'm going to say that whole outfit he's got on costs at least 2.
Yeah. I'll say the whole outfit. There's no way that Adam Silver
is renting the same suits that we can wear, or buying the same suits we can. Men's Warehouse. I got a press conference coming up. Can you guys get me a suit rented for the September 10th?
And then you think it's called Tuxedo Den.
Tuxedo. Shout out Tuxedo Den.
Have we booked George Zimmer yet?
He's busy right now. He had to help Adam Silver.
It looks like a basic suit.
I don't know that it's open anymore, but I feel like he could have got it from that flagship Macy's down there.
Sure, that's what
it
looks like.
But that's not a flagship. That Macy's is not going to sell.
That's what it looks like. He got that from
Armani?
Yeah. That's a $3,000 suit.
Have you ever seen Adam Silver in street clothes?
No, he's only ever worn a suit, I think.
I stood next to Adam Silver at Summer League years ago. My man had, like, cargo shorts on that he's probably had for, like, 6 years, and they're his favorite shorts.
Let me ask you this. I'm not going to say one specific. I'm just saying all the presidents. Those are $1,000 suits.
I'm sure.
And they dress the same way as Adam Silver in civilian clothes. I think we're talking 3 racks.
Doesn't. Barack Obama doesn't. That man got style. Don't do that.
I think we're talking 3 racks for the whole outfit, like Jesse said.
You said Adam Silver was wearing cargo shorts?
Yeah. I wish I had a picture of it.
And just he's cargo tall, too. Shorts and he like 6'3 or something like that?
Yeah, he's a big dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's tall. Just kicking it. Standing by the basket. It's like all of us. Hi, Adam. Just kicking it.
Hi, Damien.
I would have really wished I had taken a picture of that. Just Adam Silver in cargo shorts.
That was just the, I was looking at him like, I wonder how much that suit costs.
How much do your suits cost? Do they cost more than Adam Silver's?
I'd be bargain shopping. Like I said, shout out to the suit fellas down in downtown LA. Perfect, very affordable. Big shout out to
you
them.
You can get him tailored right away. Which,
yeah.
This is Adam Silver talking about streaming games. We talked about this briefly. We read the quote. Here's Adam Silver actually talking about it.
There's a huge amount of our content that people can essentially consume for free. I mean, this is very much a highlights-based sport, you know. So, you know, Instagram, TikTok, you know, Twitter, you name it, any service, you know, the New York Times, for that matter, to the extent that your content is not behind a paid firewall. There's an enormous amount of content out there. YouTube, by another example, that people.
I think I played this already. Yeah, Adam.
No, I thought you just said it.
No, we played it too.
Yeah, we did. Oh, we that's did. That's me. Right. Yeah. Adam said, F your poor ass.
So.
That's essentially what he said right there.
So, a lot of people, understandably, not a lot of people, I've seen two or three people, upset about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking for the tweet. Our guy, Matt George.
I saw that. Can you hold on to it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I got you. Yeah.
And also, We're going to have an interesting discussion ahead.
And look, and also, go ahead, turn the game on. Turn it on.
Oh, okay.
Turn it on.
All right. Steelin' with KC.
Desperate times call for desperate measures.
Steelin' with KC on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, tune the Giants on. Double play right away. Giants up. Come on, let's make up this four-run deficit.
See what Rafael Devers does right
now.
Let's go,
baby. Hold on. Nope, he swung and missed. All right, well, we're not perfect. I had to cut you off right before the break. You had something you wanted to share real quick as it pertains to Adam Silver talking about the availability of actually watching games versus the ability to just see free NBA content on Instagram, YouTube, and so on.
Yeah, so... We mentioned, like, and understandably so, like, people are upset or concerned about that. We gave his response to it. And our guy, Matt George, ABC 10, he had a tweet responding to what Rachel Nichols had put out there with Silver's response, saying, this is embarrassing from Adam Silver. One, after working for years to make regular season games matter, you're basically saying they don't matter enough to watch other than highlights. Two, this comes off as telling the priced out consumer, I don't care if you can't afford to watch. I get it. I understand it. And every dollar counts. Trust me. I understand every dollar counts. How much more money are we really spending on the NBA? Maybe $5?
Well, we don't know who has what streaming services, though. Someone who was watching the games on TNT, like cable and stuff, like now you got to get Peacock, you got to get Amazon Prime. I mean, you can also assume that there's someone out there who has none of these things.
The biggest games aren't on TNT anymore, which is, you know, something people were paying for that now they have to pay for something else. And again, I think we sometimes, and I'm being generous with we because I actually mean you, operate under the assumption that everyone has all of these services. Mm-hmm. We do. To a certain degree, we have to. Mm-hmm. Like, we can't just go, I can't watch the game tonight because I won't pay the $10 for Peacock. Mm-hmm. But, like, I understand the idea of, one, I don't want to pay for another streaming service. But, two, what's happened with Peacock lately in preparation for their first season with the NBA? It's gotten more expensive. Mm-hmm. And we just saw ESPN launch this brand new app, and WWE fans are like, wait, how much is all of this going to cost me now that I have to get this? Also, I have to pay for Netflix. Netflix keeps increasing their price. None of this stuff is helping us anymore.
Right.
And while this isn't your point is the cost of the NBA. A I think a consumer frustration is the cost of everything mm-hmm. is just getting higher.
Right.
Meanwhile, companies are telling their employees, can't help you, dog.
Right.
We're kind of maxed. Here's a 3% increase for you. Mm-hmm. That's about what we can do. That's what the cost of life is not matching up with
absolutely
the what we're being paid to live.
Right.
And I think it's just in totality the idea of Adam Silver saying, and Matt will be with us tomorrow, so I'll allow Matt to speak for himself. But the tweet that you just read is, on top of everything else, you can't watch your sport anymore. You can't watch the thing that helps you get away from all of this anymore without spending a couple of more dollars. Mm-hmm. And it is that every dollar counts. There are people that live with a budget. A strict budget that this is what we pay for food. Here's our rent, our insurance, this, all of these. This is what we live by. So a $5 increase on this and a $4 increase on this, all of a sudden, we're not paying for that anymore.
Mm-hmm. I get it. I 100% get it. I'm not arguing against that. I'm just. So the NBC deal is essentially replacing TNT. Right. Like that's the same. The games on TNT that you, even if you didn't have a service, you had cable. Mm-hmm. Now you have that on NBC.
Sure.
So that wipes that out. The Peacock games on Mondays, that's one game that you can't see. If you want to see Pacers, Pistons, and that's the Peacock game, you'll miss out on that unless you spend another $5-$6 a month. Amazon also probably another $10 a month. It adds up.
But you
I get that.
But you said Pacers, Pistons. And I think because we didn't get the actual question. We got the framing from Rachel's tweet, but we didn't get the actual question in the video. Mm. What if you're a Pacers fan?
Yeah, you can't watch that game. And I'm not sure.
I know where you're going. I don't know.
Because
either.
It may be on locally.
Sure.
If you're national, you can't watch that game, and that doesn't help a Pacers fan in Kentucky.
Sure,
but if you're local, it still may be on your local broadcast because I know they.
And I don't even know we know how that works yet because they did it with ESPN.
Yeah, ESPN does that,
but like not TNT.
Yeah, so yeah, I just look at that and it's also. It's just the way of the world, unfortunately. It's not anything that I'm happy about or I'm defending.
Does it have to be, though? The NBA doesn't have to put everything... Like, they can still make money and make games accessible. To me, this is, we're going to make our money here, and if you could watch it, cool. If not, whatever, because we're still going to get ours. Like, the NBA doesn't have to put all their games behind this.
It does feel like greed.
Absolutely. It's all greed. From everybody.
Yeah. And we're the ones who suffer for it.
Yeah.
Fans are the ones that suffer for it. Like, fans are getting priced out of going to the arena. Mm-hmm. And now they're getting priced out of being able to watch this team. And I think, though we've never got a clear definitive plan on what the hell he's talking about, I think if Adam Silver had his way, you would pay a certain amount every season to watch the Sacramento Kings play. Mm-hmm. You would pay a certain amount every season to watch whoever your favorite team play. And I'm going to stick with the Sacramento Kings because he's talking about locally. You would pay $50, $20, whatever dollar figure a year to watch your favorite basketball team play so you didn't have to watch them on NBC Sports California anymore. Mm-hmm. You could watch them on the NBA app or you could watch them on a special channel on Amazon or YouTube or whatever.
The NBA isn't looking out for its fans. I'd say that.
And that's long been. Sorry. That's long been the knock on the NFL too. Mm-hmm. That's what the Sunday Ticket lawsuit was all about.
Mm-hmm. The NBA, I think this is the case. And once again, I think in local markets, it might not be accessible, but. Don't they still have the team pass? Like, instead of getting the league pass,
in the NBA? Kings game. I think they just rolled that out, what, a couple years ago?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. That was the thing that NFL fans were demanding, is I don't need to pay $400 to watch every NFL game. I'll pay $100 to watch every Dolphins game.
Right.
Because I live in Sacramento, California.
So they do. They have for this, not saying this is cheap, but for $14 a month, you can watch just the team that you want to watch, as opposed to, I think it's probably up to $30 a month if you pay it that way for League Pass. So for half that, you can just lock in on the Suns and only get the Suns games.
Well, great. I'm going to do that right now. Get my Suns League Pass. Give me some Devin Booker time so I can scream obscenities at the TV like KC does.
Can neither be confirmed nor... Do I have that in writing? Do you have that in writing that that's what I did?
No, I have you saying on a very popular radio show with a podcast somewhere that you called the man out his name. You do know there are people listening to this, right? I got about 1,000 people in the chat right now that'll back me up.
So, I mean, it sucks. There's no good way around it. It's just, I just think that unfortunately, this is the cost of doing business, it feels like.
Yeah.
And we lose as consumers. We lose as fans.
We do.
Every time.
You know? Didn't you say... Yeah, because you're definitely right. I went to look something up, and it's not here. Didn't you tell us the other day NBA League Pass is only available... Is it Amazon?
Yeah. The Prime.
Yeah, because I'm looking at my YouTube subscriptions. Mm-hmm. It's not there anymore.
Yeah,
through it's Prime. Gone.
If and I think, once again, this is an assumption. That's not right either. But I think you can still get it through the NBA app. But if you're trying to go through TV services.
Well, I'm sure you can. Yeah, I'm sure that it's on.
If TV services, I think it's
exclusive. Yeah, because you used to, if you had DirecTV, you could get it. If you have YouTube Live, you could get it. If you had Hulu Live, you could get it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I just went to look to see what the per month cost was to have it, and that whole NBA logo is just gone. You can't get it anymore, pal.
Doesn't exist.
Get ready to learn Chinese, buddy, because yeah, it's gone. Yeah. It's tough, man. Being a sports fan and feeling like your league isn't looking out for you, of course, you get frustrated. You take it out on your team, and it ain't your team's fault. Like this is a bigger. This is a bigger picture business.
What would a solution be? A realistic solution for everybody? They signed this new TV deal.
There isn't one. We live in a different world now. Like the reality of this is just not the same anymore.
Right.
And you talk about everyone wants in on this because they realized, oh, this is all it takes to do it. There's I always mention the Fubo thing. Fubo was a great service. Mm-hmm. One glaring problem is that they couldn't come to an agreement with, I call them the Turner Networks. I don't know what they're called now, but the TBS, the TNT, all of that stuff, which also includes CNN. So Fubo now, great sports packages, all of that stuff, priced about the same, I think, as YouTube TV. Mm-hmm. But you go to a service that doesn't have CNN on it, but it has Fox News and Newsmax. What do you immediately think? Oh, I can't subscribe to this. This isn't for me. All right, I can't get everything I need with this. And this is where they're slick. And you pointed this out a couple of weeks ago. We did a live taste test and figured this all out. Is everyone offers something slightly different. And you have to determine what you're looking for. YouTube got the big push because they got the Sunday ticket thing. And now Amazon's getting the big push because they're getting League Pass. And ESPN's getting this big influx of people because there's wrestling fans. And so NBC made their big thing, not even with Peacock, or not even with WWE on Peacock, the WWE network. They got The Office. And the second they're able to get Seinfeld back from Netflix or wherever it lives now, oh, my God.
They're going
to
have it on and popping.
They're
going to have it on and popping. The solution to me, and look, this is what it should be, right? But the solution to me would be, and Matt George, he'll be with us tomorrow. We could talk about it some more if he wants to, is Matt George and others like him telling the NBA, do not take the Amazon deal. Leave that open so I can still watch my games. And that would be telling the NBA, don't take another $4 billion, mm-hmm. which is fair. The way I look at things, you're getting $7 billion. You'll be fine without another four. You'll be fine. You've got it. But what happens when I always say, hey, this player, come on, man, what do you need another $10 million on this $200 million contract you get? People be like, no, take every dime you can get. It's different. It's billions and millions. So, like, it seems even more unfathomable or more understanding for us to be like, hey, just leave a couple billion on the dollars or on the table. But I say all the time, like, hey, take 10 million less off that 200 million to be somewhere you want to be. And people are like, no, take every dime you can get. It's the same thing with these guys.
Yeah. So what a player makes, you'll never convince me, depends on whether I go to a game or watch it. What the league makes does, though. Because the deal is 11 years, $76 billion. And in 11 years, if I've decided I'm not paying this anymore, that means there's other people like me if I've gotten that far. It also probably means I'm doing something else for a living. Mm-hmm. And in about 5 years, advertisers start to take notice, like, these streaming numbers are not what you promised us. All right. And then all of a sudden, the next television deal comes around. Now, money's going to be different in 11 years.
Right.
It's going to look different. But for context, they went from 9 years, $24 billion, to 11 years and $76 billion. That right now feels like it could have come at the expense of their customers. Mm-hmm. And we'll find out, like, we'll find out in a couple months. Mm-hmm. What's it look like on Amazon? What's it look like on Peacock? We'll find out in January, because that's when October doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. January is when it matters. It's like when WWE debuted on Netflix. They sent that press release out to everybody. Almost 6 million people watched. The biggest audience to watch professional wrestling in years. Attitude Era is back, baby. What do those numbers look like now? They're perfectly fine. Right. They're 2 million something people watching every Monday. That's about what you were doing before. Like, it's nothing you're sending a press release out about.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.